Hello and welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kilkenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. Today in our short talk, we're going to look at one of the major events in the history of Kilkenny County and City, namely the Confederation of Kilkenny, which was held between 1642 and 1649. We will then subsequently listen to an account of the Cromwellian Siege of Kilkenny. And in this talk, I will briefly give a brief description of the origins of the Confederation, and then we will listen to an account written by Mace Sparks in 1926 of the Confederation of Kilkenny, and in 1650, the Cromwellian Siege of Kilkenny. The background to the Confederation of Kilkenny had its origin in events outside Kilkenny, namely the plantation of Ulster and the moves towards civil war in England between King and Parliament. A hardening of the religious identities being Protestant Catholic identities also contributed. In 1641, a widespread rising against Protestant settlers in Ulster provoked a violent reaction from both the English administration in Dublin and Parliament in London. The prospects of the widespread confiscation of lands in Ulster belonged to rebels and the resulting financial windfall also helped motivate Parliament. The result of this was to force together the Catholic Royalist Old English gentry and the native Irish Catholic factions in Ireland into an uneasy alliance. In May 1642, it was these groups that came together in Kilkenny, and briefly it could be said that Kilkenny was the capital of Ireland. We will now listen to an account written by Mace Sparks in 1926 on the Confederation of Kilkenny and the subsequent Cromwellian Siege of Kilkenny in 1650. The Catholics of Ulster were driven to take up arms by the dreadful wrongs which they suffered at the hands of the Scottish planters. The movement spread rapidly. Conferences were held in various places, and on the 10th of May 1642, in answer to the invitations of the Bishop of Ulster, Dr. Rote, the bishops and representatives of the clergy decided to summon a general assembly to consist of representatives elected by the Catholic Confederates in all the counties and important towns. Our city, that is Kilkenny, was selected as the meeting place and thus became the seat of the Confederate Parliament. The General Assembly met at the house of Robert Shee, Coal Market, which stood near where Paris Confederacy now is, upon the site of the gates of the New Market in Parliament Street. The sitting continued to January 1643. On that date, the General Assembly decided to adjourn to the following May. They declared that their body was a provisional government. A Supreme Council was chosen, which consisted of 24 members, 6 from each province. Lord Mountgarth was chosen as president, Mr. Patrick Darcy as Lord Chancellor of the House of Peers, and Mr. Nicholas Plunkett was selected as Speaker in the General Assembly. Battles were fought between the Confederate Army and the enemy with various success. The signal victory of Owen Roe at Benbourb on the 5th of June 1646 was a cause of great joy, and we are told that while success was smiling on the Confederate cause, a peace was concluded between the Viceroy Ormond on behalf of the King and the Confederates. When John Baptist Rinuccini, Prince Archbishop of Fermor and Nuncio Extraordinary from Pope Innocent X, became aware of this peace, he protested against it and determined in conjunction with Owen Roe to carry on the war. The Confederation then split into two camps. The Nuncio was forced to fly from Kilkenny and to attempt a rival assembly in Waterford, where he published a protest against the peace, saying it was a violation of the Confederate oath and a betrayal of the nation's confidence. A newly elected council then met in Kilkenny on the 10th of January 1647 and decided to carry on the war. This was done with varying fortunes. Eventually, a second peace with Ormond was made, and he, Ormond, returned to Kilkenny in September 1648 to resume the viceroyalty. So after an existence of 6 years, the Confederation of Kilkenny ended. By 1650, with the triumph of Parliament, the execution of Charles I, Oliver Cromwell landed in Ireland with a parliamentary army to enforce Parliament's authority in Ireland, and any peace treaties negotiated subsequent to that were then void. So we return to Mace Sparks' account of Cromwell and Kilkenny. Oliver Cromwell landed at Dublin on the 15th of August 1649, Poem and story tell us of his doings in Drogheda and Wexford, etc. In the spring of 1650, he took Feathered, Cashel, Carrickonshire and Callan, and then attacked Kilkenny. And to Kilkenny's glory, let it be said that a gallant defence was made. Oliver Cromwell appeared outside the city walls on Friday, the 22nd of March 1650, and demanded surrender of the city, which surrender was refused. Immediately, Cromwell began to invest the city and storm St. Patrick's Church, planting on the tower 3 pieces of ordnance, 2 demi-cannon and 1 culverin. He again asked for surrender, which was again refused. Then the attack began. Early on the morning, the 26th of March, the battery began to play on the town wall near Ormond Castle. By noon, the wall was breached, but the defenders had constructed two retrenchments, which so commanded the breach that when the attackers sought to enter, they were repulsed with considerable losses. Again they attempted, and again they failed. Cromwell then ordered his men to take possession of Irishtown. Irishtown was entrusted to the keeping of townsmen, as the garrison were employed in guarding the city wall that had been attacked and in guarding the breach. It is said that the townsmen at the first onset of the enemy deserted their posts almost without striking a blow, and on the 25th of March, Cromwell's men entered by the Dean's Gate in Dean Street and took possession of St. Cancel's Cathedral and all Irishtown. On the 26th of March, some of Cromwell's troops crossed the Nore and took the John Street part of the city, losing 30 men in doing so. They then tried to cross John's Bridge, but were repulsed with the loss of 50 of their soldiers. On that day, they also made an attempt to enter the city from Marstown and succeeded in breaking down portions of the city wall near the Franciscan Abbey, and would have accomplished their purposes, but Sir Walter Butler, governor of the city, at the head of a band of horsemen, came to the scene and beat them up. On the 26th of March 1650, amidst the clash of arms, correspondence was said to be carried on between Cromwell, James Archdeacon, the mayor of Kilkenny, and Sir Walter Butler, governor of Kilkenny, as a result of which a warrant of the treaty was signed, and we are told on the 27th of March 1650, terms of surrender were agreed on. The following is an extract from the said terms, and quote, that the said governors, with all the officers and soldiers under the respective commands in the said city and castle, and all others should be so pleased, shall march away at or above before 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with their bag and baggage, the officers with their attendants, their arms and their horses, not exceeding the number of 150 horses, and the foot soldiers to march out of the town 2 miles distant with their arms and with their drums beaten, colours flying, matches lighted, and balls in bush, and then there to deliver up the said arms to such as shall be appointed for receiving him. That the city of Kilkenny shall pay £2,000 as a gratuity to his excellencies, that is Cromwell's army, whereof 1,000 is to be paid on the 30th of this month and the other on the 1st of March, the 1st of May next following, unquote. On the early morning of the 26th of March 1650, the garrison marched forth from Kilkenny and Cromwell appointed Colonel Axtell governor of the place. The Reverend D. Murphy, S.J., in his Cromwell in Ireland, tells us that Dr. Patrick Lynch of Galway, writing on the 1st of May 1650 to the Secretary of the Congregation of the Propaganda, said that a report had reached him of cruelties that had taken place in the city of Kilkenny after Cromwell's entry, and of a number of priests, religious nobles and merchants being put to death there. And thus descends Mayspark's account.